Welcome, everybody, to Inside the Program, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I am Texas Homer, filling in for the wonderful Joe Cook. We have Eric Nahlin here. We are going to go through the top 10 Longhorns after spring ball, and this is source material. This is not opinion material. So these are the 10 Longhorns that have done a great job, and we expect a lot from them come football season. Eric, we're going to do reverse, starting at number 10, and we're going to go to number 1. We're going to build the suspense with our audience. Let's begin in the number 10 spot. Malik Muhammad at cornerback, and you've been saying he's a second-rounder since he stepped foot on campus.
Yeah, even when he was in high school, I felt he was a second-rounder, and that's such a weird thing to say. You know, it's either like a first-rounder or he'll be drafted, but I think he has first-round skill, first-round mentality, first-round physicality and all that. I do wonder, you know, I have wondered long-term about his NFL athleticism. They like mutants at the position. However, I'm starting to wonder, you know, we see all these guys going into the NFL draft from Texas running really fast 40 times. So you could go in and run a 4.43, and he would end up – if he ran a 4.43, I would think that he's going to end up being a first-rounder. However, he's got to get good tape, a little bit more consistent. We saw some mental breakdowns in the latter part of last year. I feel confident he'll clean that up. The biggest question might not be speed, might be ball hawking, but here's the bottom line. Top 10 player, he's the number 10 player on this team. Going into his junior year, you're getting ready to read a really good list.
Yeah, so the key there is clean up the zone coverage, but if he can get those interceptions. Do you think we end up going more man? If you go more man, you actually might even end up with less interceptions. How do we get Malik Muhammad maximized as far as turning the ball over?
They always talk about running more man, but you know, if he's going to play the field corner, they're going to be more in zone on that side of the field. That's on the split coverage. I think they'll do more man to the boundary, so that'd be more Gilbo, Kobe Black probably. But I think he's a really good. I mean, that's probably playing to his strengths, even though he does have man physicality, is being his zone defender. You got to use those eyes, get your hands on the ball a little bit more, though. He's only got one career pick.
Cool. And then we have another secondary member at the number 9 spot, Jelani McDonald, fan favorite. Hell of an athlete. Right now playing safety, Derek Williams is still recovering from injury, but he could end up at the nickel spot. How is this going to work out with Jelani at the 9 spot?
Yeah, DBU coming in strong, number 9, Jelani McDonald. You know, I liked hearing that in the final scrimmage of spring, which was the final practice, we heard him playing both safety and star. And to me, I just can't help but wonder if that's foreshadowing for August. We've long said that the goal is to get Taft, Williams, and McDonald on the field at the same time. They want to go with the best five. The only way they can really do that is to put McDonald at star, or I guess they could put Taft at star, but that doesn't seem like the best man up, man on man defender there. So I think we're going to see McDonald play star. And then I do wonder if he's one of the top 10 players on the team because it's such a difficult position to play. But he's certainly, without a doubt, one of the top 10 talents on the team. We still have to see Derek Williams come back. Last I heard, he's going to be back full go in June, which means he should be out there for team 7-on-7 activities and workouts. We'll know a lot more in August. But right now, Jelani McDonald is viewed as a potential first-round draft pick. He's just got to keep getting reps, identifying routes, that sort of thing, playing with his eyes a little bit more. We know he can play athletically. He's fast, physical, all those things. He has all the traits for the NFL. He needs to just get a little bit more comfort, a little more time under tension, seeing play design and all that stuff.
Yeah, nickel's an interesting spot for him if he's not too resistant and wanting to play safety. Then let's hop over to the other side of the ball. Number 8, Trey Wisner, it seems like we got to mention him every video. Heart of a lion, right? But it's not just the intangibles, which I worry about, right? Intangibles are great, but I care about NFL pedigree too. There's a reason why we got 12 guys drafted. So what we're hearing from Trey is that we're seeing production. It's not just a heartwarming story, right?
Yeah, I mentioned in the article about you go into a little bit of depth on the intangibles, the toughness, the selflessness, the versatility, that sort of thing. But he made this list. I put it clear to the source. You know, we're one of the 10 best, not the 10 toughest, not the 10 most versatile, not the 10 best feel-good stories. He made it on ability. And it really corroborates what we heard throughout spring. And also, you know, not just talking to our sources, but, you know, a number of recruits visited campus and saw practice. And they came away impressed with just his ability, punches above his weight. He's carrying a little bit more weight. That's helping out. I think a big thing is that he's healthy. He was extremely beat up at the end of last season. So, you know, they gave him – I think they just put him in a hyperbaric chamber for 2 months and just let him get right. Came back bigger, faster, a little bit more burst. Nobody even got really close to wrestling away that running back one title. So I think that in itself tells you a lot.
One of my favorite Wisner memories. Maybe it was A&M. I can't remember, but they panned to the sideline of him on the bike, and he looks like he's about to die. And then 2 minutes later, he has to go back in, and you couldn't tell how tired he was.
Yeah, the good thing about the Clemson game, of course, was that they're able to give Jaden Blue so many carries because Clemson was a sieve that game. You know, I think Trey had 15, Blue had 14, and then from there it was all back to Trey again. Man, he's tough Iron Man now. Here's the thing. We'll talk about it more this offseason. They've got to keep him fresh. They got to keep Taft fresh. They got to keep Anthony Hill fresh. All the guys we were talking about off air that were just really beat up at the end of last season, they got to keep all those guys fresh. So I think Trey's going to be better than what we saw last year just because he's going to get less carries. I mean, that might be counterintuitive, but I think, you know, every carry that Christian Clark or Jarrett Gibson is absorbing is not one that Trey Wisner will, and he'll be a better player for it.
And there's a lesson to learn where you have a tendency to want to replace a player with a higher caliber, higher starred player, and that player keeps winning out. At some point, you just have to accept the results of that. We had something similar with Taft. Speaking of Michael Taft, number seven, the safety, holding it down as the seventh best player on the team right now.
Yeah, when he really came on, I had a source tell me basically that same thing. You know, the source said, we're going to be trying to replace that guy for the next 2 years, 3 years, and it's not going to happen. Lo and behold, here we are. You know, seven again, you know, second team All-American. He's your seventh best player on the team. That's pretty dang good. It's your third DB. That's the final DB to make this list. DBU representing well, but maybe not quite as well as it has in the past. Last year, of course, Jade would have been the first or second player on the team. You know, Taft had a bit of a quiet spring. Pretty much, you know, they're letting the younger guys play. Jordan Johnson-Rebell, we wrote about him quite a bit. Xavier Filsimi, you've seen the light bulb at least flicker, if not coming all the way on. McDonald had a good spring. You know, Taft did what's his thing. We know what he is. The coach on the field thing is real, but as I say in the article, the player on the field thing is real too. Number seven, quarterback, the defense. Expect to see him a little bit more on special teams like he did 2 years ago, especially in those high leverage games. You know, when they go on the road to Athens, I expect to see Taft and Wisner out there and Jelani McDonald out there on special teams doing their thing. Taft, big year. I really liked how that spring, that scrimmage in the final practice, the best players on defense rose to the occasion after a bit of a quiet spring. We all know who Taft is. Expect him to go out and have another really, really good year.
Yeah, absolutely. And then let's go to offensive line. Number six, replacing the one and only Kelvin Banks. We get lucky with Trevor Goosby. And in your article, you guys go on Twitter, on Justin Wells' Twitter, there's a clip of him dunking the basketball. This guy's an insane athlete at this size. So I'm excited to hear Trevor Goosby after a little bit of a preview, watching him play last year as well.
Yeah, you know, that highlight is a bit of a bookend of what we watched when he was in high school, when a lot of us on IT really started liking him, thinking, oh, man, this seems like a really obvious offensive line take. We always like to scour for basketball highlights or any sort of athleticism that's outside of football just to get a better idea of the athletic profile of the player. Goosby was always athletic on the hard court. His brother's a high-level prospect. You know, he might end up at Texas himself. Goosby dunking 360, a little bit of cheat on the rotation, but we'll give him a little bit of grace period. 315 pounds. There's no problem there. Really good athlete. Always heard really good things about him. It's just like Trey Wisner, man. Those first couple practices or first few months on campus, like he's, you know, you ask which guys are really adapting or acclimating quickly. Goosby was one of those first guys, just like Wisner was. We've been writing about him so much before he took the field. You know, we were a little bit surprised at how well he did, but not entirely. You know, we knew he was a good player. Now we feel like he's a known, despite only, what, two or three starts. He feels like a known going into next season based on all the intel leading up to his playing time and then getting to put our eyes on him against really good competition. Still some things to clean up. But, you know, like I've been saying, I think he's going to be a one-year starter. I read in the article that there's five guys that have top 10 NFL draft pick potential, and I think Goosby's one of them.
Yeah, and it's important for fans. Pay attention to who the coaches let into the player press conferences. That's always a good note of mental eval and who they want to represent. And hearing Goosby talk to the press is always a good sign. All right, that's the bottom five. Not the bottom five of the team, but the bottom five of the best. And we'll continue on to the top five here shortly. But first, Academy Sports and Outdoors is your home for Jordan gear. Gear up today and take flight on the court, off the court, and above the court. Unleash your greatness with head-to-toe Jordan gear for the entire family. Available in-store and at academy.com. Elevated styles and shoes for everyone. Unstoppable value every day. Plus, Academy offers easy ways to shop and save time, like free 1 hour in-store or curbside pickup on academy.com orders. Or choose same-day delivery powered by DoorDash. You can order by 4 p.m. and get it to your house by 8 p.m. Check out our full Jordan selection today at Academy Sports and Outdoors. All right, top five. Here we go. Another offensive lineman, DJ Campbell at right guard. That's exciting.
Yeah, that one, I put an exclamation point in the article because that's exactly what I did when I took the note down. I was a bit surprised. No matter how much we've heard about him, I don't think it matched up to number five on the team. We did hear plenty of good things. Yeah, Sark even mentioned him a couple of times throughout the spring ball. We've seen pictures of him being leaner. We've heard a lot of things about how the run game is probably going to be perfectly tailored to his athletic, powerful profile. More pulling. He's going to probably be, Trey Wisner's best friend leading the way. But five, that's quite the leap. But it's right in line with his five-star rating out of high school. And it is tangentially in line with what we've heard throughout the spring. That's an exciting development. You've got two guys. We're worried about the reboot on offensive line, but you got two guys in the top six on the team. If it plays out that way, there's going to be a lot of things Texas can do.
Yeah, just hearing about DJ Campbell taking a leadership role too, I thought was a really important aspect.
Yeah, that usually is a leading indicator of the potential breakdown. There's a lot of leading indicators like that. When you hear that in the secondary, that guys are communicating a lot better, you're like, okay, he finally gets it. DJ can't win the big guys, when you start hearing about Alfred Collins taking on more of a leadership role, it seems like it's leadership with the bigger guys that have kind of maybe not lived up to the hype just yet. I think that's a good comment on your part.
Yeah. Number four, another fan favorite, Ryan Wingo. All the athleticism in the world. Can he take that next step to break out, really understand the scheme, get off press good, make sure he's there for his quarterback, all those kind of things. And then we know Ryan Wingo has insane ceiling, but he lands at the number four spot.
Yeah, some might think that's a little early. The staff is all in on him being wide receiver one after not getting, what would you call a high-level guy out of the portal. All the abilities there, but we've always heard good things about him too. The second he got on campus, all the ability to put it all together is there. He just needs a little more time under tension. He did miss some spring ball this year. Is a bit unfortunate because he does have some smoothing of the surfaces that need to occur. Needs more reps with the quarterback. One thing that Steve Sarkisian said at Touchdown Club on Monday was that Wingo and Arch Manning have very great rapport, and I think that was on display when he did come back for the scrimmage, which was a bit surprising to me that they played him in the scrimmage, but also a good indicator of how healthy he is. And he had kind of participated in some walkthrough aspects of practice before then. One thing that's interesting that we heard was the new DB coaches were shaking their head about really seeing him go for the first time. They're like, oh, okay, all right. Their thinking was we'd have to cover this guy just a little bit different if he was on the opposing team. This is part of, this the source believes this, but I would have had Wingo at four as well, based on, the mental eval is there as well. So when you hear about the mental eval, the things about, your preparedness, being on the same page with the quarterback, that's all going to come in the form.
One of my bigger metrics are WTFs per minute when evaluating a recruit, and Wingo provides that. Just one of those players that just catches your eye when he moves across the field, like him on a crosser. It looks like a different thing.
Oh man, not running in the field. Yeah, when he catches it, he's he's shot out of a cannon. You don't say that about many players. He is shot out of a cannon. The acceleration is insane at his size. Oh man, it's a thing of beauty when he catches the ball. Terrell Owens was a really good comparison. I think, so I forgot somebody on IT made, it's kind of like once they catch it, they just hit a different gear and they're streaking through the middle of the field. And good luck tackling them because there's just a lot of physics going on with that much speed at that size.
Yeah, it's the side speed speed combination that's crazy. All right, now this is interesting because we're at the top three now. You could probably mix and match a little bit here, but it just shows at the top end of this team how much talent there is. So number three is linebacker Anthony Hill, and he's getting ready to get up out of here. So we're going to see his final year of balling out.
Yeah, man, that makes me sad a little bit. Obviously happy for him. He was the recruit we thought he was. He's been that impact player since day one. He's one of those guys. He kind of, started the trend of, hey, he's really good. Just get him on the field no matter what, and we'll figure out the rest later. He, started his career rushing the passer, and that's that's really why I think he brings a different element. He's not your off the ball, you know, run the triangle linebacker, just looking for run fits. He's a disruptor. Sark mentioned that touchdown club that, you know, Sark, I think Sark said he has like 15 sacks. It's 13. You can forgive Sark, but he was in the ballpark. I think that ability to get after the passer at 8 sacks last year, which is a tremendous number for an off-ball linebacker, that makes it, he's just a total difference maker. And that's, you know, the strength of the defense next year is going to be pass rush. Anthony Hill's a big part of that. But also I think it speaks to why he's going to get drafted a lot higher than most linebackers do traditionally. Is he could be a credible edge rusher in the NFL. They would bulk him up a little bit more, but he could do it. They're not going to do that because you can just bring him from different angles and still get a lot of the same reward. Anthony Hill, number three. I would have had him two. I had him two in my previous, you know, when I talked about who would be the top 5-10 players. This source had him at number three.
I remember just watching him at Denton Ryan on his huddle, and he's always had that, man. He just has a nose for the ball. He can track quarterbacks. It's really special. And his closing speed is absurd whenever he locks in.
You talk about wanting to see basketball for the bigs. You know, watching him play running back, that's always been one of my favorite evaluation tools for linebackers is when they do have running back tape. You really get to see change of direction, you know, how well they see the field vision, that sort of thing. Playing with the proper tempo. You know, running backs have to play with a certain tempo, but linebackers have to mirror that tempo. Him as a running back was credible. And at linebacker, he's incredible because a lot of the athleticism and the innate traits translate.
Absolutely. All right, number two, Arch Manning.
Hey, yeah.
It works, man. I'm good with the list. Number two, Arch Manning, quarterback. Had a quieter spring because all his receivers were out. But yeah. Protecting the ball, doing things. He was being a quarterback opposed to just, you know, throwing it down the field.
Yeah, you know, I think his command of the offense is where they wanted it to be. We wrote, you know, spring ball expectations, what sources wanted to see. And one of them was that, you know, he would just command the team, command the offense, be the guy that they expect to win a Heisman and can lead them to the promised land. And they saw enough of that, especially when he did have Wingo back, saw a little bit more of the firepower. He hit a lot of deep shots to Parker Livingstone at times as well. But he didn't have the full complement of weapons, but he was still able to move the ball, whether it's finding Amari Winston in the flat to move the sticks. At times, later in spring, he'd use his legs to get it done. Just has a full understanding of the field, the nuance of the position, you know, the understanding of the ability to get through his progressions. And they've got a lot on his plate. You know, we've talked about that. I'm still a little worried about August with it because he's probably going to get a whole nother playbook dropped in his lap. I'm a little nervous about how he adapts to that, but yeah, we heard pretty much everything we wanted to, relative to the fact that, you know, his top two wide receivers were out. But yeah, he could end up being the best player in America next year. And I don't think only a fool would be surprised by that.
Well, and the problem for Arch Manning is that he can run the full playbook. And so he's going to have to learn the full playbook. We haven't seen that in a while. Number one, then. No surprise, Colin Simmons, the destroyer.
He's going to go early rounds. Yeah, he's this is the year. I think this is going to be his biggest production year because it's like, okay, he's really good, but how good is he? And then people learn the hard way. And then next year they throw the kitchen sink at him to stop him, and it opens up the defense for everybody else. The guy on the opposite side is really going to benefit. I think this year he's going to it's going to go haywire for him. You know, he started off a little slow. They're just nursing something. The second he came back, he's in the backfield, living in the backfield, blowing up everybody, running step for step with Wisner. I think I heard that like three or four times throughout the spring. He's just running step for step with a running back like it's nothing.
That's scary.
Yeah, looks like the best player on the field, best player on the team. You know, I think it's pretty obvious that he's going to go top five. I've likened his career trajectory to Will Anderson. And, you know, if you look at Will Anderson's career, he had that big breakout freshman year. If you go based on a number of snaps, Simmons was actually more impressive. He didn't play as many snaps as Anderson, but he was about as productive. Anderson's second year, I think he had 17 and a half sacks. I predicted 15 for Simmons. You know, they play more games, but he's still going to be very disruptive in pretty much any time he steps on the field. I think this is going to be his big year. Top five pick. Yeah, there's not much else you can say about him.
Yeah, that 2027 draft, if Arch stays another year, then you got Colin. One and two. It might be one and two again. Yeah,
you can have some teams trying to sell out and do what the Texans did to get CJ Stroud and Anderson.
Yep. All right. Quick thing. Any positions missing from the list that gives you any pause?
Well, you know, we'd love to see a D tackle on there. You know, that would make life a little easier. But we also like their approach of just throwing a rotation of grown men at the problem. And, you know, spring didn't have their best guy or the most talented guy, Marad Watson. I'm not going to say he's the most talented. January is very talented. And we did hear good things about Alex January. Michael was dead. Alex made my stock up players of the spring, which I know Connor's read. go read that at InsideTexas.com. Talked about all the players whose stock was up. It went from random guys to like true freshmen, you know, Grayson Littleton, Emery Winston, to the best players like Colin Simmons. As great as Colin Simmons is, the stock was still up. Blue chip stocks still go up. Marad Watson, we want to see more out of him, see something from him. He's still a little unfamiliar, obviously. I'm not really worried about D-tackle, but it would be nice if you had an Ndamukong Suh on the team or something like that, or sure. Malcolm Brown or Byron Murphy. But I like their approach. You know, tight end, I think, it's a key position on the roster. And, you know, Jordan Washington was out. I'm not saying he would have made top 10. That would have been tough given this list. But he's definitely a future top 10 member. And then, you know, they got Jack Andrews coming in. So, you know, I'm not worried about it. They addressed those problems through the portal. And I think I think a list starting, you know, if we write this list August 29th, which I'll probably do going into Ohio State, it might look a little different.
Absolutely, man. All right. Well, this is the exciting part of post-spring where we get to see the top 10 guys on the team. And we've had some questions this offseason, but still, when you look at this top 10, man, we're in a pretty good position here, man.
Yeah, I'll probably rank the position groups, just kind of empty the notebook on what we heard throughout spring. And that'll be interesting. But again, it's interesting based on spring, but, you know, I'll rank D tackle probably lower than where it would be in August, and tight end will certainly be lower than where it will be in August. So it's an awesome, awesome roster to cover from a nerd perspective. You know, we're like the junior general managers, junior scouts. We love going over it by position. It's just a loaded roster. We're worried about O-line, two O-linemen make the top 10. I mean, it's right. What else could you want?
Yeah. It's exciting times on the 40 acres. Fans, thanks for watching. Eric, thanks for your time. And this was Inside the Program, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors.